We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're kind of finishing verse 7. Remember, chapter 7 and 8 is about giving and about the collection for the saints. Why it's so important. Why God stresses it both in the Old and New Testament so much. Because giving and our possessions can be one of the major stumbling blocks for people. So it's no wonder that God spends so much time talking about it and telling us the importance of it and how we should go about doing it, is because it can be a real stumbling block. That was the stumbling block for the rich young ruler, wasn't it? His riches were standing between him and God. And he had lived a good life. You know, he had kept the commandments and so forth, but those riches were the last hurdle, and he couldn't get over that hurdle. So in chapter 7 and 8, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us how to get over that hurdle. He gives us an example of a group who knew how to get over that hurdle. Even though they were poor, they gave way beyond what anybody would expect of them. They had the right attitude. They had the right heart. They realized what they had wasn't really their own, but it came from God. Then he had talked in chapter 8 about encouraging the Corinthians to, you know, they had made a promise to give a year ago, and so Paul wanted to make sure that when they got there to pick it up, that it was ready. Because he didn't want to get there and have to coerce them. Because that type of giving is not the type of giving that God wants. He wants the type of giving where people are freely willing to give. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we don't have car washes to raise money or have businesses to raise money. The Bible says it's supposed to be a free will offering. That's how we finance the work of the church. Not in any of those other ways, but by a free will offering. So no putting thumbs down on people or pressuring people or coercing people. It's people give as they are willing and with the right kind of heart and attitude. And that's kind of where we got last week with verse 7, because in verse 7, he gives us, wow, and this is chapter 9, not verse 8. I was telling you the wrong chapter. He gives us some of that, some of those reasons and the right attitudes to have in verse 7. So that each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And a lot of that verse summarizes the whole idea of what giving is about. He says it's to be done with a purpose. It's not just what we happen to have on us on Sunday. It's not something that we do strictly emotionally. Because if we do it emotionally without thinking about it, without purposing, then it's very likely that we won't give what God wants us to give. So he says, this is something you think about. Yes.
Back to chapter 8, verse 10, he says, we began this year ago, and in verse 11, but now finish it. So it's not just purposing in your heart. You have to go through.
Yeah, that's right. You have to finish it.
That's right.
And they apparently had some good intentions, at least at one time. So he's says, you know, you make these plans, you carry them, you think about, you know, how God has prospered you, as he says. You know, how what God has done for you and how he's blessed you and all the things that he's done for you. And then you make this conscious decision about what you're going to return. So you, again, it's not something you do at the last moment, just, okay, I've got this much on me, oh, I'll put it in. That's not purposing in your heart, not even close. So he says there must be some there must be some planning and there must be some thinking about and considering what it is we're going to give. Then he says, well, he mentions it has to come from the heart, and it can't be grudgingly. We can't give with the idea that we're going to hold on to it until the very last minute, until someone has to pry it out of our hands. That's not the way we give. Because if we give that way, we're really coveting that money. I mean, if someone has to yank it out of our hands practically, then we're thinking way too highly about whatever it is we're giving. Yes.
Now, under the Old Testament, they gave more than 10%, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot of, if you can include everything they gave, yes.
All right.
The sacrifices and...
Here we are as Christians today.
Yep.
We need to purpose in our hearts how much we're going to give on the first day of the week. But we have obligations beyond that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We need to keep that
just,
in mind.
That's part of what we give.
Yeah. That's not to, that what we give to church comes first.
Yep.
I believe.
Yep. I think that's a very good point. And I think that goes back to thinking about how we've been blessed, what God has given us, you know, our whole attitude. You know, we have to think beyond this material world. I mean, that's really what it's about. You know, we don't lay up treasure on earth, like Jesus said. We lay it up in heaven. Because when we're gone, we don't take any of that with us. You know, like I'd mentioned that one gospel preacher who was up in the helicopter flying over this guy's land, and the man was talking about all the land and cattle, and the preacher said, yeah, but it's all going to be burned up one day. And that's exactly right. There's not a bit of it's going to be there. So
we won't need a U-Haul, will we?
We won't need a U-Haul. Never heard it quite put like that. Yes. Yeah.
What's left, but we don't do
that. Yeah. Very true. Very, very true. And that's what's supposed to come first. Is what we give to God. And that's really about, you know, when we talk about giving not grudgingly or out of necessity, we don't want to think in that way, because it says God loves a cheerful giver. So therefore, He doesn't love an uncheerful giver. If He loves a cheerful giver, then He doesn't love an uncheerful one. So He wants us to have the right frame of mind about giving and about what we have. And since that is often such a stumbling block, I think that's why He stresses so much in 2 Corinthians about that. Yeah, really. Absolutely. That's what we need to think about. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But then, as a corpse in the casket, your hands have released. So we come into the world wanting.
Grabbing,
and
wanting.
When we leave, we relinquish it all. And I've always thought of that.
Yeah, that's a good illustration. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to give it away. We're not to hold on to it, because none of it goes with us. So there's the picture in verse 7 of the kind of giving, the kind of giver that God wants us to be. Where, of course, we do it in faith and realizing, okay, and He's just said that, then notice what He says in verse 8, and God is able. See, God is able. Well, what's He able to do? To make all grace. Now remember, in chapters 8 and 9, grace referred to what they were giving. Their resources, their money, and so forth. That's how He uses the word grace in those two chapters. They're synonymous. So God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, and but here's the reason. He doesn't make it abound to you so you can go buy stuff for yourself or throw it away or be frivolous. He says that you, having all sufficiency in all things, here's the reason, may have an abundance for every good work. See, there's the reason he's able to make all those things abound, so that you can have an abundance to do this work for the church. So we're blessed, again, not to just fill our lives with everything we want and have a little left over for God, but he blesses us so that we can have an abundance. And that's what he wants us to do. You know, some people might worry, well, if I give this much to the church, then I won't have anything left over to do good with. And he says just the opposite's true. Yes.
First of all, that he says you have sufficiency in everything. You're not going to go hungry if you do this.
Yep.
But the abundance is not for me to go buy a new car. It's abundance for every good work.
Right? Yeah, that's the purpose.
So,
right.
So if I give to help something, I'm going to have an abundance to help something again if I give it the right attitude. If I give just to test God and see if he's going to give it to me,
Yeah, that's what he wants. And he wants us to know that if we're, you know, willing and have the right attitude, again, about giving for good works, that we'll continue to have those for good works. Yes.
The old saying, you know, you don't give till it hurts, you give till it
feels good. Yep. Yep. He doesn't want us to have that begrudging, I'm going to hold on to every nickel and use it all on myself attitude. That's what he wants us to stay away from.
I heard an individual say one time about giving. They said, well, we don't have much of an income. If we ever, you know, come into a lot of money, then I'm going to be a giver.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I thought the widow and the mite is not how much.
Yep. Yep.
But I did want to say that, and I thought of it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of money.
Right. Yeah, and he never tells us the exact amount to give, because as we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's based on what we have, not on what we don't have. Yes.
In human standards, we think the more we give, the more good it's going to do. But if we give with the right attitude, even if it's a little bit, it'll probably do a whole lot more than if we gave because we had a whole bunch to give away.
He'll multiply it. I mean, that's what he says in these verses. He multiplies it so that it does good. We just have to again, have the right viewpoint about what we own, and he doesn't say that we're not, you know, just like Ananias and Sapphira. It's not about not giving; it's about how you view what you have. You know, he doesn't mind us living in a house or having cars or eating, but he does mind, and he is concerned about the viewpoint we have. In other words, do we put our trust in those things? You know, what do we put our trust in? What do we put our trust and confidence in? Those material things, or do we put it in God? Yes.
The guy that built a bigger barn.
Yep.
We always use example because he didn't give God the credit. But the thing was, he was using this. I've accumulated all
That's
this,
right.
And he had no intention of giving it to help anybody.
Oh, no. It was all about himself. It was all, and that's what he was putting his trust in, wasn't it? Those barns and the stuff in the barns and his land, that's what he put his trust in. But that goes back to coveting. You know, that goes back to coveting, and he says covetousness is idolatry. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he says covetousness is idolatry because, you know, you're making those things your God. You know, that's what you worship. If you worship your possessions, then you're not worshiping God. And if you worship your possessions, then you obviously have the wrong attitude about those things. But he promises here. Would someone read Proverbs 11, verses 24 and 25? It kind of goes along with this. Proverbs 11, verses 24 and 25.
What one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
See, isn't that what we're talking about right there? That's what we're talking about. You know, if we're generous and willing to give to, you know, others who are in need, who are poor or unfortunate, whatever, okay, then like the one that scatters, we will do what? We'll increase. But if we hold back, you know, when someone, you know, I can't feed all the poor people in the world but myself. And neither can you. So God doesn't ask us to feed every person in the world ourselves. He does ask us to do what we can with what we have. And that's what He looks at. So if I have the resources to help someone and I choose not to, like this second person, what does it say? Lead to poverty. But if I am willing to share with what I have, then He says, I'll have more than is necessary. So he doesn't base it on what we don't have. He bases it on what we do have. Yes.
And the example that God always uses, I mean, here, sowing seed is what he's talking about, Proverbs.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you planted 10 kernels of corn, you can't expect an abundant harvest. But if you spread a lot out, and that's the thing, the more good you do, the more good you can do.
Yeah. And that's what he wants us. It's about sowing those seeds. And we don't know how much that seed will prosper or return. But ours is to sow. Yes?
Just the thing yesterday, we don't know what good that may come about.
Right.
In some way, and we may never know what good.
That's true.
It may have done somebody some good that will help them find God.
Yeah. That's right, and there's probably a lot of good that we won't ever know, just like you said, and that's okay, that's fine. Just our purpose and responsibility is just to do good when we can and as much as we can. That's what he wants, and that's what he wanted from the Corinthians too. He wanted them to do what they could with what they had, and he wanted them to do it with the right attitude. Knowing that they were blessed, he wanted them to have that right spirit, that right attitude. And God promised that they would have what they needed to continue to do good works if they would do good works. That they weren't going to be in deep poverty if they did good. Some might be afraid, I have to hold on to every nickel. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, you don't know what's going to happen. But you do know who you're supposed to trust. And that's what's important. And he goes, that same thought is in verse 9. Verses 9 and 10 kind of illustrate what he just talked about. As it is written, he's dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. See, that's an illustration of what he's been talking about. He's given us the seed, the bread. He's given us that. You know, all of us have seed and all of us have bread. We all have resources. So he wants us then to do the sowing and the giving. And it says, he will continue to supply and multiply the seed you've sown. See, it's up to God about the increase. Our job is the sowing and the giving. It's His to do the supplying and the multiplying. But He promises us that we're just to do the sowing. You know, He'll continue to supply us with seed if we continue to sow. Yes.
You and I kind of talked about this. Well, we're here, Mr. Stewart.
That's right.
He gave us this, and it's ours to do with. And, you know, we can choose to do good, or we can choose to do it for self.
We just have it for a short time.
We're just passing through. Yep. The world is not our home.
Yep. And he wants to see how, you know, how we handle these things, like the rich young ruler. Is it a stumbling block? Do we want to keep it all to ourselves? We're not willing to do good to anybody, or we just, you know, we want to keep it all to ourselves? He doesn't tell us to all give it away, but he does want us to have the right attitude toward what we have and to do good when the opportunity arises, to do what we can. And sometimes that's spending time. You know, sometimes it's spending time. That's what he wants us to use, is time. Sometimes it's money. You know, sometimes it's energy and effort or whatever. But what resources we have, he wants us to use the best way we can and to have the right attitude toward those things. And as long as we continue to do that, then he's going to continue to do his part. That's what he promises. We do our part, he's going to do his part. We continue to do our part, he's going to continue to do his part. And he's going to continue to supply us with seed. If we continue to sow, it's just like having a big sack of corn seed. If we're continuing to sow, then he's going to continue to keep the corn seed, the bag, full. But if we stop sowing, he's not going to put any more in it. So it's up to us and our... It's really, it comes down to our faith and trust in God. You know, if we want to hold on to that bag of corn seed and we're not willing to do anything with it, then that's it. That's all we're going to have. Yes.
And really, that's where the rich young ruler's problem was. He didn't have faith and trust in God.
Yeah.
If I give away
everything, I won't have anything.
He can only think of physical things. I'm going to be broke, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
He couldn't trust in God. Yeah. I mean, you know, how many of us would give up everything we have if we're that put to it? We've got a family to take care of, we've got to do this.
Yeah.
And it would be a difficult decision.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course the thing there, God was able to read his heart and see how attached he was to what he had. And he saw that was really keeping him from the kingdom. He saw that was his problem. Now for other people, it might be different things, but for him, it was those riches. And so he really wasn't trusting God to take care of him. He was afraid that, again, if he gave it away, wouldn't have anything. And so that's what Paul says to the Corinthians. You know, don't be afraid if you give it away that you'll never have anything again. Don't think like that. God says, I'm going to continue to supply seed if you'll continue to sow. If you stop sowing, don't expect any more seed. And that's a tremendous lesson. And that's probably a good place to start, to stop. Time's about up, but... We have some wonderful instructions here about our resources and what we have and what attitude we should have toward them. And thank you for your comments today.
Where did you stop now?